Alrighty, what up, guys? Before we dive into part one of our episode with the founder of Dad Water, Bryce Morrison, today's episode is sponsored by, what was it, little Timmy? Dad Water. They're super great tasting flavors. Tequila water, only 100 calories, zero sugar, zero carbs, zero carbonation, and zero bullshit. They've got characters to all four cans here. I'm rocking Steve, which is grapefruit. They've got Gary, pineapple jalapeno. You never heard that one before. Tom, which is lime, and Rodney, blood orange. They're all really great tasting flavors. We're rocking with Dad Water. They're available in 30 plus states. Click the link in the description to check out where you can find a store near you. They're the official drink of the Man to Man podcast. Let them be the official drink for you this summer. Dad Water, tequila water, and let's get into the pod. Me and Steve got a little date in the meantime. UFC superstar Jorge Game Brett Masvidal, dude. What's going on, baby?
What's up, everybody?
Alrighty, what up, everybody? Welcome into Man to Man Podcast. Today we're switching things up and talking man to woman. Please welcome on the show, singer, songwriter, social media star, Lauren Gray. We know you like the DJ.
I am okay.
$1.99 for a banana bag, bro.
Well, Bryce Morrison, founder of Dad Water, man, sure. Thank you. We're actually extremely honored that you just drove all the way down here and to just kick it with us. And Dad Water, founder of Dad Water. So I feel like we gotta cheers. What are you on? Blood Orange? Rodney?
Rodney.
I'm on Rodney as well. What are you rocking over there, brother?
Little Gary.
Little Gary.
Yep.
All right.
Give this to my dad.
Well, dude, welcome. How was the drive?
Not bad.
On a Tuesday.
Not bad. You know, I zoned out. That's what I do. I listen to podcasts. Yeah. So I was like, I don't know. I listen to Rogan a lot too.
He's
the GOAT. But yeah, he had the new Terrence Howard.
Came down here with a fire truck.
Yeah,
this truck is.
We're gonna have to put this like just on the screen right here. It pops up. But what is it? A Ram?
It's a 250? Ram 2500. It's kind of an incognito diesel because we had to take the little symbols off of it, you know, for the wrap. Longhorn edition, you know, had to kind of cowboy out the interior. We call it the Dad Wagon.
Yeah,
the Dad Wagon. Is there a mom wagon for Mom Water?
It's the mothership.
It's the mothership.
And if you had to guess what the mothership is, like the most mom vehicle ever, I mean, it's obviously a minivan.
I was gonna say some van,
but of the minivans, it's the original Swagger Wagon, which means it's a Toyota Sienna minivan.
Okay. Love it. Okay, so for our listeners, I feel like a lot of our listeners know what Dad Water was because we partnered with Dad Water in March when they opened up. No, it was already in Tennessee, but then it opened up the 30 more, or it's in 30 plus states now.
Yes.
So I guess just for our new listeners, I don't know how many new listeners we got, but
trying
the
to get
hell is Dad Water, dude? And you know.
So Dad Water, so, you know, we obviously, Mom Water's our core brand. It's been around for about 3 years. We were just talking about that, you know. We're still super new in the market, and you know it's a vodka water, fruit infused vodka water. Our big deal is no carbonation, no sugar, no sweet. So we drink like a fancy glass of like fruit infused water. Dad Water came about because honestly, the community of Mom Water fans kept asking us tongue in cheek, "Where's Dad Water?"
Yeah,
we're like, it's called beer, bourbon, or we just kind of give. They're a looking
over
can.
At you. You're like, "Shit, I'm trying
them." Like, I don't know, and so. We kind of said, well, if we're ever going to do a Dad Water, we don't like to copy what everybody else does. We like to innovate. And so we kind of sat down. We're like, well, what would make sense? And we're like, nobody's doing much with tequila in the RTD space. They're kind of doing it, but everybody is carbonating it. And if you're a really good, like, if you like tequila, like good tequila, nobody drinks it carbonated. I mean, there's ranch waters and some of those, but really, like, a lot of people drink it on the rocks. You drink it neat. I mean, tequila, really good tequila, is meant to be drank like that, like not carbonated. Right. Or they turn it into a margarita and they just throw a big, like a cup of sugar in it, and then it hides it. Everything is meant to hide the tequila flavor. We wanted to, like, promote the tequila flavor a little bit. So we experimented with that and said, look, what if we did the same concept as Mom Water, but we used tequila instead and, you know, up the ABV. And, you know, we got our first initial samples back. We're like, we loved them like instantly. Cause I like tequila, gave me the same vibe as Mom Water, but just different enough. And then like the branding kind of came after that, which was, you know, wanted to really like old school retro feel. It's about dad. So instantly I'm like thinking my dad, how I was raised, you know, back in the day, totally different than it is now. Like, we were raised just in a different world, and it's kind of like interesting and fun. Like, when I tell my kids how I was raised, they're kind of like, what? You know, like, yeah, seatbelts were optional. You know, like, yeah, back in the day, like,
drink a
people
beer
were calling the government, like, we're, yeah, you know, it's a bunch of communists, we can't drink and drive anymore. Like, that was a thing. Like, yeah, used to be able to do that. So it was just a different time. And I was like, you know, that's, it was an interesting time, especially to raise a kid. Mm-hmm. No cell phones. You didn't know where your kids were. You literally told them to go play in the woods by themselves all day and show up whenever it was time to eat. Like, totally different time.
Yeah.
I was like, well, how do we incorporate that?
Kind of bring it back a little bit. And we've, yeah, seen brands do that too, like Friday Beers. They're bringing it back with, you know, the photos on the t-shirts and kind of the, yeah, nostalgic memories and things like that. And what's the same? Whatever was in was goes out, but then it goes back in is always, yeah, like the like coolest thing.
Full circle.
Yeah. It's the trends are very cyclical. And then, you know, it's, you think about the things that, you know, like right now with my daughter, you know, she goes to, I kept hoping as a dad that like by the time she gets to high school, maybe like full on cardigans and like baggy pants, yeah, will be back in. Right. Well, we went to the store to like get her some clothes for this last year at school. 90s jeans. Like,
yeah.
Hell yeah.
It's coming, you know, back.
Carpenter jeans, baggy. So like it's full, yeah, circle. Like it, those old trends tend to come back. Like what are the t-shirts everybody's wearing now? Like all the young kids, like Def Leppard, yeah, Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
It's those are the
all
old
like graphic tees and like, you know, like oversized tees, I feel like. And then for Mom Water, when did Mom Water start? And there's also kind of a unique story behind Mom Water, correct?
Yeah. It's super unique. And we never thought our story was all that unique until we had the entire industry telling us, no, that's really crazy story. You need to promote it. So, the concept of Mom Water was the first part, which was 2018. Jill and I are at a resort in the Dominican Republic. And we're, you know, like everybody else, when you get to the resort, they hand you these big sugary drinks, you start drinking them. And then you wake up the next morning, you're like, oh my God,
feel terrible. You're feeling those.
And so she found these big jugs of passion fruit water that were stationed around the resort. She started hydrating with them. And then that turned into, I like this water so much that I want to keep drinking it. So she would fill her cup up with that, go up to the bar and just say, just throw some vodka in this. I just want to keep drinking this water and see what happens. So she noticed that she'd feel it, but at the same time, she didn't feel as bad. Like she didn't bloat up and no headaches. And the next morning she felt better. So when we got back home from that vacation, she, you know, that was 2018, which is when seltzers were on fire. Mm-hmm. And so all her and her friends drinking nothing but seltzers, that turned into, okay, we like these, but at the end of the day, we feel terrible. So how do we do that thing I was doing in the Dominican? Yeah. So I literally just went and bought her a bottle of cheap Pinnacle, like $10 bottle, yeah, of flavored passion fruit vodka. It was like, here you go. So she'd take a Dasani water bottle. She'd take a swig out of it. She'd replace it with a little bit of that, put it in the cooler. And she's like, these are actually pretty good. Like it tastes pretty close. And so that became her drink. Well, the issue with that was we basically drink nothing but water as a family. So there's Dasani water bottles everywhere. Right. We got three kids. Inevitably, they started grabbing the wrong water bottles, not thinking, taking swigs and spitting it out. And so we're like, Jill, you got to do something. And so she wrote Mom on the top of all hers and told the kids, if it says Mom on it, it's off limits.
Yeah.
So all her friends would always see her drinking something that said Mom on it. So they started calling it Jill's Mom Water. Mm-hmm. And that kind of stuck. And so kudos to Jill. It's my big shout out because she's the reason that we even did it, because she kind of came forth and was like, hey, my friends love this. They all notice the same things, like the positive effects of drinking it. They like the lightness. You can session it all day. And we could call it Mom Water. And it doesn't exist in the industry. And they were a real pain in the butt for her to make. So she was like, hey, we should do this. I was like,
so my biggest thing is how easy it is to drink.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
true. We go out and, you know, play golf or do stuff out on the town or whatever. And I always bring up to him, like, just if we're going to be out here, we know it's going to be a long day. What's a good drink to have for a long
day? It's gonna be hot too.
Yeah. And it's like, A, this is easy to drink. And B, it's like, you're not pounding like shots back.
Sugary seltzers. I used to actually do that in college, dude, but I would do it with whiskey and water. And it just, I don't know, it's kind of like a placebo effect. It still got me pretty hungover, but we've talked to a couple of guys that have like started their own like drink in itself. So what did the first kind of steps look like for Mom Water? Did you guys have to get investors or pitch the idea or kind of just take us through that a little bit?
Yeah. So when we started the project, when I was kind of like doing a little research in the background, so my wife is an occupational therapist. She would, in a therapy department, a local nursing home. She ran that therapy department. And I was in sales and marketing, but I worked for a hospice. So I at least was like used to like networking and talking to folks. And so I started kind of putting my feelers out there, doing a little research. And we found a flavor house that kind of helps with you, like with the actual beverage development. Like, hey, we're going to help you with the formulation. Once we did that, I was like, oh, that's the hard part. Like, cool, mm-hmm. let's go. And so we started that. And, you know, little did I know that was the easiest part of the whole entire process. But we did, I didn't even know we needed like a third party distributor in states to get our product to market. I mean, when I say I knew nothing, like ignorance was the only thing that kept us in this, because if somebody would have lined out, here's everything it takes to get a beverage to market, I'd be like, nah, yeah, screw that. Too, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we took out a second mortgage on our home. Like luckily when we started, the good part of, we started 3 months before COVID. Mm-hmm. During COVID, it was a lot easier to get SBA loans, because like small business loan, because no one was taking out money. Everybody's laying off. So we were able to get a loan, kind of, you know, put ourselves more in debt. But we kind of started going through, and luckily the product sold so fast when we released it, we were able to kind of use that money to where we weren't necessarily funneling like all of our other job money into this, although it was most of it.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until, you know, after about 6 or 7 months, we kind of saw writing on the wall. We're like, man, we got something pretty special here. We had people in the industry telling us that. So we brought on our partner, John Bell. He was a longtime friend of ours. We had a kind of a mutual bourbon group we were all in together. And he's just like, hey, man, you have something special. If you want any help, I'm in. And he's like, you know.
Cool.
So that's kind of what jump-started everything. And
then how long did that process take of, I guess, getting the right formulation down? Were there different variations of formulations that you had to drink?
Can't be that Dasani can't be, water.
I know. I was going to ask that. I was like, bottle. There's no way it's Dasani water. Though,
no,
right?
No.
What kind of water's in there, dude?
We actually use like RO water, reverse osmosis water. So the same water that they use in essence to cut bourbon. You know, it's like the most pure form. It's manufactured water. So like, you know, think of condensation, if you will. It's a pure form of water. So these big plants are able to kind of manufacture the water, and that's what we use. So it's not out of the ground necessarily. It's actually water they produce. So because we use a hell of a lot of it, you know.
Yeah.
That whole process of when we started on the manufacturing side, it was like, you know, that actually ended up being the hardest thing, is once we kind of got a distributor, the manufacturing part of it, that was wild. Because during COVID, if you think like most of these giant plants, we couldn't go to them. Like their minimum orders were more than we were worth. And so we had to find small little distilleries. Well, every one of them had shut down that summer to make hand sanitizer. And so like, no, all these little breweries that had a license to produce, because we were a liquor, we're not a beer. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big distinction in the marketplace. You've got the Twisted Teas and the White Claws. Those are a malt. They don't distill that, which means they're taxed a tenth of what we are. We didn't know any of this coming in. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we didn't care. We were just trying to make the best thing for us to drink. Right. That was the biggest deal for us. And so we weren't making decisions based off margins and profit. And you go to the, you know, even the flavors, you talk about that, like the flavors were, honest to God, I went online and started going, hey, you know, like most of these flavors should probably be fruit combinations, because when you see fruit floating in water at these fancy hotel lobbies, it's always a couple things, you know? And so just started looking at fruit pairings and interesting ones that sounded good. And we're like, we probably started with 12 or 14 different kind of ideas. And then, you know, we get our samples back and started whittling them down. And we just used like our friend group, like Jill's friend group of moms that were drinking at poolside. And we're like, all right, let's just vote on it. Like on napkins and papers. Yeah. Our logo was something I doodled on a napkin, sent it to a guy and was like, what do you think about this? And Jill jokes, because we have an original picture of it, and it looks like from Stranger Things, it looks like a Demogorgon. It doesn't look like a palm tree. Yeah, if you look at the Mom Water logo, I'm like, God. But he got it, and he's like, the thing he sent back was the logo to this day. Yeah. Like it was perfect. I'm like, don't change a thing. Like mm-hmm. that's it. So it was really weird how things happened. We're not like most companies where they did market research and, you know, right. tons of iterations of things. It was,
that's a big thing too, is like, if you have a good product, I find it so easy that it will sell itself. Mm-hmm. If you have like a middle tier, and I tell him all the time, especially on my end as the consumer, I don't mind spending an extra $2 or something mm-hmm. if I'm going out, if I love the product. And that's something that...
Well, especially if it's relatable too.
Yeah, right? That's the like big part too.
small family owned. It's like, yeah, I'll go buy that and support those guys over these big corporations. So when did it first hit the marketplace then?
March of 2021. So it took us about a year and, you know, 3 or 4 months to kind of COVID really slowed it down. Mm-hmm. And then once we released, it just was kind of like wildfire. You know, like our first order, I'll remember, like one of the funny stories was, you know, Jill and I went up to the first time we ever produced it was up in Toledo, Ohio, at a little brewery up there. Shout out Mommy Bay Brewing Company. And, you know, kind of a good old boys network. And we're up there and they're kind of new to the spirit side of things. And we went up there and, you know, the operation was we'd bring in a box truck, a mobile canning line. They set up on the, you know, in this old distillery and they can it. They didn't have like our cans were coming out wet. We had the labels on them at the time. They weren't printed like they are now. And Jill, they didn't even have enough people to like really do it. And so Jill and I just propped up on the line, started like putting them in cases, packing them in those pack techs. And when we rolled home, Jill would actually go around on the floor and we were picking up like all of the mess ups because for us, we're like, we're not wasting any of this. It was like liquid gold. We'd never seen it in a can before.
Yeah.
So we were like geeking out and she'd look and go, and she'd just get a 5 gallon bucket.
Yeah.
Pick up all these things. These guys are just chucking them off the line. If they had a dent in it or something, we're just like, we just saw dollar signs every time they did it.
Yeah.
So we had our samples and we were going to bring them all home to all of our friends the next day and party and drink them. And right as we left, the very last one coming off the line was Karen. It was that was the last flavor they did. So there was less mess ups because they'd kind of honed it in over the course of a couple of days. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to grab some off these pallets. I'm just going to grab a case of Karen, take it home so we can have it. Grabbed it. We get done. We go home. Next morning is a Saturday and our friends came over and one of our friends, she loves it. She was so excited for Karen. She pops it open. She takes a swig. She's like, oh my God, what is wrong with this? I'm like, what are you talking about? So I went over and I took a drink out of it and it was like 160 proof. Oh. I'm like, what is this? I was like freaked out. And so I'm calling them. I'm something's Karen. Wrong. Something's wrong. Exactly. Of all the flavors, it was Karen. And so it turns out like, I guess one of their guys totally forgot to mix the tank. Wow. So it was just like the alcohol and water. Yeah. It's separated. And, you know, thankfully it's like things happen for a reason. If I wouldn't have taken that one case off the line, I mean, there's a good chance we wouldn't have even been this far because if that would have gotten in market, it would have been a nightmare. So like,
you think someone would have tried to sue you?
Oh man, I don't even know. Like I would have been scared just for somebody taking it. They surely would have liked it. They wouldn't have finished it because it tasted like turpentine. It was awful, man. It was so bad.
You still got that case at the house still?
No, but we have a few messed up cases that, you know, from early on to where there was, you know, there's another batch where just a few cases, I think like might've made it into that original, like in our local market, we went and just bought them up and we kind of keep them in because we also had another, our Sandy flavor used to be Becky, but there's a company, I guess, that was going along the same time as us timeline wise. Mm-hmm. And they got a trademark on the name Becky because their company name had the word Becky in it. Mm-hmm. And they were a seltzer out in Arizona. And so we got this cease and desist, which again, we're like, oh my God, what's going on? So we just changed our name. So we still have some of those old cans. We just keep them at home there and we call them Hot Beckys because they were a little bit like higher ABV. I think the quality control off that first run was like, I think we only did a few runs there like that summer and we outgrew them.
So you have to trademark it like immediately, right? Because there's somebody else that's just going to hawkeye you and just be like, okay, they're doing this even though they're not even really out yet.
Yeah, for sure. And in the alcohol world, it's even weirder because you can't trademark your recipe. Like you think about that. How many seltzers are there?
Right.
How many bourbons are there?
Because can't you go into like a formulator and just be like, well, this is already made. I guess I'll just put a slap a name
100%.
On it.
100%. That's what everybody does. So like the alcohol world is filled with like Microsofts. They find another thing. They put their own spin on it, try to tweak it, make it better. And then they release it. And we were very different. We're like Apple. We're coming in going, nah, we're going to create a whole new category of alcoholic water, you know, because no one was doing it. Or if someone tried it, they used a malt because better margins. Or they try a wine-based, you know, because again, better margins. You can sell it more places. We were like using liquor. We're the first ones that ever did it. So very, very different. So we can trademark. Our brand is everything for us. Like in the alcohol world, your product has to be good, but your brand is the most important thing because, yeah, we're sure that as we continue to grow, the big players will come in and probably want to try to dip their toe in it. But we know that our brand is the strongest thing we've got. And so
on that note too, what's, do you have like plans to like make be bigger or like have more flavors or even add maybe a bourbon or a gin or do we have any plans.
Like a limited time edition flavor too.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do, you know, in terms of, we're always innovating, and that's one of the things we've learned really quick is, like, if you're going to innovate, like, it takes us a good year to bring anything to market. So right now we're getting ready to go back in the lab and work on some fun stuff for like 2 years from now for Mom Water, for instance, right? We've been doing some work on the back end of Dad Water, trying to get ahead of things, you know, and learning when to release it. You don't want to get too wide with your SKUs and dilute everything where then your distributors are, you know, like, oh, we're not going to pick up that new flavor.
Right.
So you have to kind of prove yourself in the market before you start to do that, but you have to also think ahead. So we've got a lot of like fun ideas for what we do. The other part of that is for us, having names on it is a whole nother fun thing.
It's game changer, because you don't ever hear that from anybody else.
No,
I feel like.
No.
We were trying to learn the names. We didn't want to fuck it up, you know, in the ad reads and things like that. And I'm like, hold on, go back. I didn't say this. So then so you start in Ohio with Mom Water, and I promise we'll get to Dad Water, but it starts in Ohio, and then do you bring it back to Indiana, and then fast forward, you're working with the Pacers and other big professional sports teams.
Yeah, so we actually made it in Ohio, but the fun fact was we sold it first in Indiana, Kentucky, and then Ohio was our third state, because from a licensing, like, we were just like, we couldn't find anybody to make it. Finally, we found it. They just happened to be in Ohio. And then that's why we ended up doing Ohio next, is because like all of these cans from Mommy Bay would kind of like, a few of them would walk off on the weekends, you know, to parties and stuff. And then all of a sudden we had like a little bit of a cult following up in Toledo. So we're like, all right. So then we had some distributors get with us. And so we started there, and then in Indiana in 21, March of 21. And then actually Kentucky was like 1 month later, because they wanted to wait till Karen was around. Indiana said, we'll take the other three flavors. Just send us Karen when you get it, you know?
Right.
And what was the other?
And then how do you guys start working with all these professional sports teams?
So that was, for me, that was like a geeky part. And like,
that's what I like the most.
Yeah. Like,
especially being from, and we're Pacers fans.
Yeah. Are you from Indiana?
Yes.
Yeah.
Southern Indiana, which is where we still live, 15 minutes from where I grew up.
I was born in Seymour.
There you go. Yeah. So Huntingburg, you know, like that's where I'm from. Jill was from Ferdinand. That's where we live now, which is right. Like, shout out to Holiday World, you know, Santa Claus, Indiana, home of Jay Cutler. Mm-hmm. That's where that whole area is kind of where we grew up.
Yeah, I guess we're skipping a big part right here, and I'm always curious. It's like, how do you get that cult following? Let's ask that first. How do you get that cult following? Is it all, we're all in the social media digital age. Is it a ton on social media? Is it on Facebook ads? Like, what's y'all's, like, digital strategy, I guess, going into, you know, trying to just get your name out there?
It's like luck, timing, branding. there's a bunch of things. Yeah. But really, social media is how we grew. TikTok was amazing for us early on, but you know, like anybody, we eventually get shadow banned because, like, as an alcohol, you're not supposed to be on the platform. Mm-hmm. And so really what ended up happening was other people would do a review or put it on their channel on Mom Water, and then all of a sudden, like, that video would get like pop off. Right. And so then other people see it, and then they do one. So it just kind of spread. Like, and on TikTok, on our platform, we went from like zero to like 45,000 followers in 3 months.
That's insane.
And that's shadow banned. Then we had 300 followers like the rest of the year. We're like, man. So it got us like that initial jump. And then, you know, Instagram, obviously you can still follow because you can do that, but they don't allow you on some of the platforms. The average age of the platform user has to be 21, and TikTok it wasn't. So,
and then how does it get to professional sports teams?
Yeah. So we end up getting a call. I'm trying to remember, right. It's been so long ago, but we get a call, who's now a buddy, Michael Lake. He's in corporate sponsorships for the Pacers. And actually, back up, I got to get my story right here. What happened was we found out that we had this, we were looking for like finance firms, because we needed some tax partners, finance partners. Yeah. And as we're interviewing them, one of the reps for one of the firms kind of said, I'm a massive Mom Water fan.
Nice.
And we're like, wow, this is really early on. We're like, we didn't have any massive Mom Water fans. So that's awesome. So we were pretty stoked about it. Well, come to find out, this person happened to be the daughter of the president of the Pacers.
Oh, geez.
How about that connection right there?
Mr. Fusion. So, you know, Rick Fusion's daughter. And so, like, you know, so again, shout out to Amy. So we found out this, and I just remember kind of saying, hey, well, you know, if there's ever a chance, we'd love to get some of this in the hands of, you know, pay. We didn't know how corporate sponsorship worked, nothing.
This is 2020.
This is 2021.
21.
Yes. It was probably like by the end of that year. And so, long story short, like, she sends an email, copies me to her dad. And I'm just like, this is awesome. You know, the president of the Pacers, I don't even know his email.
Wait, right? What's his name?
Rick is Fusion.
Richard? No.
The president? I think it's Rick. He might be, his title changed since then. It's Fusion. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's Rick, isn't it? I could have that wrong.
Owner is
Herb Simon.
Is Simon, and then I could go down the list if I do it. But
Pritchard's not even a part of the Pacers, is he?
Yeah, Kevin Pritchard. He's like the GM, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Owner/GM. He has like 3 or 4 titles. Sorry, I'm not speaking in the microphone.
Yeah. You're soft spoken. You got to speak up a little bit.
Yeah.
On the editing, dude, I'm going to have to get you.
Am I good?
You're perfect. Maybe a mic a little bit closer because we're trying to hear the story, dude. Okay. And then what does that email
look
like?
So she sends an email. So then I get another email back from Michael Lake, who's now my buddy. He's kind of in the sponsorship part of the Pacers. And, you know, he was just like, hey, thanks, Amy. You know, you can just get with me if you ever need anything, you know, kind of like, hey, you didn't have to go right to your dad. It was just kind of funny, the whole thing. And so we met with him. We ended up going up doing a tour, and he was like all in. They love the brand. They'd kind of seen enough of it. A lot of people up there. And their thing was they loved it because it's something that like they wanted to get a different demographic in, you know, like continually get more female fans in and families. And he's like, this brand just works for us. You know, if we're going to sell something in Gainbridge or have something in here and promote it, it just fits with what our goals are. And so then from there, it just kind of slowly formed, and we, you know, you pay for those sponsorships, and
right. We
kind of took a flyer and said, let's give it a shot. And then once you do one deal in that industry, it's like they're all interconnected. I think we met with 75% of every NBA team that year. We met with hockey, NHL, NFL, MLS, like you name it. And, you know, so from there, like the next deal we did was the Dallas Mavericks.
You're just taking calls like after Monday through Friday, you're like, oh no, I'm on a call with the Dallas Mavericks.
For
now.
Real. Yeah. And it's funny because like now we look back and it's almost like, I won't say annoying, but to a degree, because we know how expensive it is. And we know that like, for the most part, a lot of them are just like, we just want your money. And if you're in the alcohol world, they assume that you're loaded, because they're used to dealing with Michelob, you know, the AB. And so,
Were the Pacers the first team that you guys worked with then?
Yep.
Okay, cool. And
team.
Then what does that contract look like? If you want me, is it a 1 or is it a 2 or is it a 3?
We did a 3-year contract with them. And we don't quite do like a 6-figure contract, but the Pacers did us right. Like they came in and said, listen, you guys are from Indiana. We want this to be like we want to make it attractive to you. So they really did us right on the contract. Cause most of the times on these contracts, like they can get out of control. I mean, if you're that they told us once, like, you know, the little symbols that are on the, the jerseys,
little
right?
patches. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the main sponsor, like for small market teams, like the Pacers and the T-Bulls, some of them, you're talking like $4 or $5 million a year just to have that symbol on there.
That's crazy.
You get up into the like the big market teams and it's like $15+ million.
And do you have to meet like a certain amount of like sales the first year going through the second year? Or like when, I don't know, say it's like $25,000 to just get yourself into, what do they call it, account? Like get into an account at the Pacers game? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, so like Gainbridge Fieldhouse. So the weird thing, it's like this weird thing in that industry, which is our contract has to be completely separate from the fact that we might be sold in there. So it's kind of like an assumed, like, hey, we do a contract, and most likely if we're doing marketing assets inside the building, the concessionaire, who's a totally different entity, will probably pick us up to sell it because they see it as an opportunity to, hey, if we're marketing and there's Mom Water posters in every bathroom and all the and Jumbotron stuff, we should probably sell it here. It makes sense. So most of the time they do that.
Do you have to get more product then, though, at that time? Or was it like, okay, we've got enough for these games and maybe these concerts, and I think we're just good with that amount of cans that we're selling right now?
So the cool part was that concessionaire totally did all the ordering. So based off of sales numbers, off, you know, where we were placed, they brought us in. They have Gainbridge, what's so cool is they just put those grab-and-goes in that year where you can just walk in. You scan your credit card, walk in, grab 2 things, pop them open, walk out. You don't have to pay. It's all facial recognition. And we do really well there because like you walk right in, you see our product, it pops on the shelves, they grab it, they're cold, and they go. So they handle all of the ordering. So what they do is they just continually order from our distributor in Indiana, and it's just like another account. It's like a retail store.
So that saves you money.
Yeah, like kind of, even though like, so most of those deals will never make enough in sales to pay for the sponsorship. You're mostly doing that to get eyes on the product, to do. It's like having different people taste it, you know, having marketing that shows up everywhere. That's kind of really, you got to look at it more as like an advertising opportunity.
Okay, so that's what goes into just paying up front to just get in there. Like you're paying for the marketing.
We're paying for the advertising.
Right.
It's like a Super Bowl ad. We're paying, you know, and the cool thing and the reason we liked doing something in the NBA space versus let's say NFL, because most people do an NFL, is that we're sold for every one of their events. So they, you know.
I was going to say, that's what I was going to ask you. So you get the concerts, you get.
Yep.
Anything that
Disney on Ice, anything sell out every year.
Nice. Yeah, anything that's in Gamebridge, you.
That's at Gamebridge.
Yeah. They had one last year. I think they do one about every year.
See, that was my. I didn't know if you just were solely for Pacers, and then they take you out for the other events
for concerts. Now the assets, like you know, some of ours, like if we do the Jumbotron stuff, obviously that's just for Pacers games.
Right.
But like we have a painting on a wall right outside of Grab and Go. We have posters in all the bathrooms, right, with like funny little sayings, and so. Those things stay up for every concert, but the more important part is our product is in those grab and goes and at the bars for everything. So whatever, other than like high school events, like the ones where you're not allowed to have alcohol, we're sold. So,
and we asked this to one of our buddies too. It kind of has the same story. He started up here. Very, same thing with COVID. What is SB founder? He's got the honey in. What is it? Honey tequila, or like honey gin. He kind of did the same thing where it popped off and his first account was Nashville Soccer Club, and then it got to the Titans, and it got to the Preds. But we asked them about the prices for the concessions, and I'm guessing it's the same answer for you. You don't come up with those, and maybe they crank those a little bit higher for the Disney on Ice or for the different concerts that are happening at Gamebridge.
They said it, so I think Gamebridge pretty much has a standard price. But yeah, you're talking like it always blows my mind because you go in there and they're like $12. I remember the first time we ever went to a Pacers game after the fact, right? Because we get like a bank of tickets and. Like, all right, we're going to, as a team, we're a small team. Let's go. We're going to the Pacers game. We're going to buy. I was like, first round's on me. There was only like seven of us, six of us. It was $100. I was like, damn, first round's on me. The next round, everybody gets their own.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
That was interesting though, because it was just like the concessions can crank it up to
400-500%. Yeah. I mean, they make.
And you're not necessarily complaining, and you're also hoping that the Pacers make it all the way to the final.
But like, what's crazy is like, you know, early on, they were making more money off one can than we made on 24 cans on a whole case. Our profit margins were less on one case than they made on one can. I'm like, this does not seem right. But, you know, like we try to get our margins better over the years. I think they're still, it might just be like close to even after all of our costs. But
that's so funny. Okay, so the next professional team was the Dallas Mavericks.
Yep.
Okay, cool. And then are you talking a Cuban over there or what's going on?
No, it's funny. We never even really, because I'm an IU grad. He's an IU grad, entrepreneur.
Cuban is?
Entrepreneur. Yeah, he's an IU grad.
Oh, really?
He's like one of the biggest donors of Indiana University, if not the biggest donor.
Go Hoosiers, man.
He goes and visits every once in a while, too. Yeah,
they've got like a whole hallway, I think, named after him.
I like him so much more now.
I went down one time just to see if I could see him, but he was doing so many events.
Doing like a talk thing or something.
Yeah.
He was at a few events. We just never ended up at the same event. And, you know, like I think he's mildly aware of the sponsorships in the arena, but not really. Like it's weird with the Mavericks too, because they're not an owner of the arena. They're a tenant, but the Dallas Stars are actually, it's United Airlines, right? Uh-huh. American Airlines Arena. And the Stars are actually, I think, even more, have more control than the Mavericks do inside that arena. It's kind of a weird situation. So, like, we can't even be sold at most of the bars because of the licensing. Like, there's only a beer and wine license at a lot of the levels of that place. That was one where, you know, actually, like, I think as of, like, we ran that for 2 years. We're not going to renew that because we're the official ready-to-drink cocktail of the Dallas Mavericks.
Nice.
We paid That's for awesome. That. Big time. Like, you know, that was not an inexpensive, but Texas was such a big state.
I got a question on that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but even on socials, like when the Mavericks are talking about their promoting about their sponsors, like you guys are on there, right?
Yeah. For that one, we're a lot more prominent. Like we did the big halftime things, right? Like where people dressing as mom water cans and doing like races and stuff like that. Now what's interesting is when they're on nationally televised, like let's say the playoffs.
Yeah.
Nobody's assets are in there. If you notice, it's very different. The NBA controls that. So if you want to be in those games, you have to have a deal with the NBA.
Right. Did you see Tyrese Halliburton? They took the Prime bottle away.
Exactly
from him.
Right.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like if he would have been rocking a dad water, and I know some of the Pacers like mom and dad water because we sampled them. So shout out. TJ, Miles.
Yeah. Dude, Tyrese. Just such a dog, man.
It's pretty cool, man, because
TJ's got his own little like wine thing going on yeah. on the side. I just looked at that.
So cool, like with those guys, like going to the Pacers, they are some of the most down to earth dudes you'll ever meet. And we got a chance to meet them several times through our partnership. We'd go to their golf scramble every year and we'd do activations and they'd come on and Miles is rocking Dad Waters and I'm like, here, man,
take do any golf like activations this summer?
So we do, you know, we do a big partnership with Roger Sloan. So he's a PGA golfer, good friend of ours, him and his wife, Casey. That was one of the first ones we did too. Cause you know, with Dad Water, like if you ever drink it, you give it a shot. The one thing it is light, easy to drink and you can be out in the sun and it just makes sense. Yeah. Right. And so we're like, well, when you're out in the sun playing golf, that was always my issue. I like to play golf, but I'd go out there and drink something carbonated and I'm so dehydrated. I can drink a couple and I'm out.
Yeah.
So we decided to kind of delve into golf and do that, which is really cool. We want to eventually do, we've got some pretty cool ideas to be able to do like, you know, some big charity events.
Yeah.
It's just like everything else, like on the priority list. It's so crazy because our growth has been so nuts that we just try to like, been trying to hang on.
Right.
So eventually that's something we really want to do, get celebrities out. We've got some people, do a big, like with Folds of Honor, they do a lot of, really cool charity events and golf specific. Nice. So we'd love to get involved in that kind of stuff.
Okay, cool. So then we can just fast. I mean, you guys are you guys with the Chicago Fire too?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. So, I mean, how many professional sports teams are you guys working with?
So we got, you know, Roger with the Pacers. We were with the Mavericks, Chicago Fire, Indy 11 soccer team, Louisville FC. We do Indiana Hoosiers. We do sponsorship with them. That was a college one. That was more like me just wanting to kind of get back with.
Are they in the arena now? In the Hoosiers?
Yeah. Well, except it's a little weird there, and that's where we because
talk about a party school.
I would say it's brand new. The ability to sell in their venues.
Did you go to Little Red? Did they have that back in the day?
Little Red.
Is that what they call it?
Oh no, Little Five.
Is it Little
500? Talking about the bicycle race.
No.
What do they call it there?
It's like the bar?
Knoxville, like boxing weekend at Knoxville.
No, it's
it's Little 500.
Little 500.
Little 500 is like the weekend at any. Yeah, it's a bike race, like where it's like a road bike race. So all the fraternities there, you know, there's like there was a movie made based off that weekend, Breaking Away. Is that right?
Should we go? Like
Little Five. Yeah. If you want to go to IU and you want to party, go to Little Five.
All of us just get like a hotel room.
Do it.
I don't know about that. Sounds.
We try to.
Let me get back on my feet before I start running.
I can't hang as much, but these days. But no, we do tailgates and stuff with them, so we go up every
year. That's cool. And then I'm just guessing that's the strategy with Mom Water. You guys are profiting now, right? Correct.
Yep.
Or is it? How long does it take to profit on something like that? A couple years.
Most alcohol companies, like we don't run our company like an alcohol company. We run it like an actual business, like trying to make money. What we learned pretty quick was a lot of alcohol companies don't necessarily do that. They pump it up and try to get their sales as high as they can, flood the market, get a lot of, you know, they'll give equity away or get a bunch of VC money. So like they won't be profitable for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, we were like, we don't want to do that. We want to be in this for the long haul and we're going to run it like an actual company. And we had a brand that kind of stood on its own, I guess, and was able to do some marketing. And so, for us, we've at least been able to be profitable. I mean, and it's really hard because of our growth. But we've done well in terms of like where we're at. We're pretty proud of where we're at now versus where we were. And every year it's not been like by much, but like the fact that we're not having to give away a lot of equity.
Yeah. And then just in the professional sports arenas and venues, you would say like that's the most profitable besides like selling online. Like you guys, is that like the game plan? Like just to keep working with these professional sports teams, like that's where the money comes in?
No, what's crazy is like those are not even a percent of our sales.
Really?
So like where we do well, so like right now, you know, Mom Water's 95% of our sales because Dad Water's brand new. It's tequila. It's going to take a little longer to convince people to give it a shot, you know, going, hey, you don't have to like tequila to like them.
Yeah.
But with Mom Water, it went kind of where Mom Water works the best is, you know, stores like Walmart, Target. Mm-hmm. We're one of like, I think a top five brand within Target right now, national. Yeah, you think about it, like grocery stores in the states where you're allowed to sell it, like Tennessee's not one of those, but like, in Indiana, we can be sold in a Kroger, a Meijer, Target, Walmart. we do really well there because the wife, most of the time, like doing grocery shopping during the day, that's where they purchase their alcohol. They're not going into liquor stores.
You know, it's funny too, dude. Like you would go, you would be in the aisles and like sometimes even when I'm grabbing like a bag of chips or something, I'm always kind of making sure who else is in the aisle or like if it's like alcohol, I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to go grab a 12 pack right now. I hope that's cool with everybody else. You know what I'm saying? I know you do that, bro. You know what I'm talking about?
That's the funniest thing I think I've heard from
you. Yeah, like that's a real like a story. Aisle, yeah, I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Especially if it's during the day or like mid afternoon. Let me go to the
it's like liquor. A sweets, like, you know, like how much chocolate I'm actually getting. This. And then, okay, that's super cool. What is the biggest difference between like those conversations and professional sports teams and maybe not being connected to the Pacers owner per se, but like, how do you talk to these people that are, I don't know, running the Walmarts and the Targets and trying to get into stores like that? And then my follow-up question I want to ask is, what about local stores in Indiana? Is it worth it? It is because you're from there. Mm-hmm. But how many local stores are you in or restaurants or bars or whatever it is? And what's, I guess, why do you put, you know, Mom Water, Dad Water in those type of stores too?
Yeah, so right now, 95% of all of our business comes from places that sell alcohol where you have to buy it and you take it off premise. They call them off premise accounts, your liquor stores, your grocery stores and those things. Like 5% of our sales come from bars. Bars are the hardest ones to get into because everybody wants in them. They'll only take a couple SKUs. They also wait to see what the market is going to dictate kind of what they're going to bring in. They don't just experiment all the time. Mm-hmm. Their margins are less, you know? So where we do well is your packaged liquor stores and your packaged grocery stores that sell it. Like 50% of all of our sales right now come from grocery chains.
And does that Target just help Walmart. With word of mouth to get into a Target and Walmart? And then you're kind of like, you've shown credibility being in the professional sports teams. I'm sure that helps a lot.
Yeah. We use those in the beginning, like as our pitch, like, hey, listen, if the Pacers or the Mavericks are kind of taking a flyer on us as a new brand, it'd be good for you to do it. We got into like really Meijer and Kroger and Total Wine were three of our first big chains that once we got in there and we started doing really well, then you're able to take that data because all the other stores, they pay attention to that. And they're like, what's going on over at Meijer with this Mom Water stuff? Yeah. And they'd see their sales and they go, maybe we need to look at it. You know, and the big one for us last year was Publix in Florida. They brought us in like all 900 stores. And like when that happens, it's kind of pops off down there. So
how do you, in terms of like marketing, how do you like choose like, where do you like put all your effort in? Because now you're grown to so many states. Where do you pick and choose? Like, obviously, Indiana will be like home base and where you push it the most. But like you said, Florida and Texas. And how do you pick and choose where you put
really
that?
Hard.
Yeah.
We're still learning.
What about like the warmer states? Would it be like a warmer state that you're looking for?
Usually, like coastal states, we kill it. Like, we do really well right now. What we found, number one, that surprised us is we do well around universities. The college kids, I mean, they're the ones on social the most. They know who we are. They love it. So if you're around a university, Mom Water does well. If you're around a body of water, Mom Water does well. Mm-hmm. Those are the two. So like Florida right now this year, Ohio has always been our biggest state in terms of sales, but Florida will probably pass them up by the end of the year. Because it's just so massive. And again, around the coastal, we're expecting California just takes longer. Where we put our dollars is an even harder question because we did something that a lot of brands don't do. Like it makes more sense as a new brand to make sure that you're taking and you kill it in a few states and then you put all that marketing dollars into those states, you grow big and then you add a few states and then a few states here. That makes more sense because your dollar goes further. Well, we were like, we have a chance to be the first in market in a particular alcohol category. Mm. Like a White Claw was like, if you say seltzer, what's the OG?
White Claw.
It's White Claw. And they're still benefiting from being the first, even though it's, you know, a decade later. So for us, we made a calculated decision to say, we're going wide first, not deep. Mm. And that was basically so that we could have that brand equity in the marketplace. So now we're kind of going backwards.
I'm sorry. Is that mean just investors brand equity?
No, like just like in terms of like peace of mind for the consumer. So if they go, I want alcoholic water. We want Mom Water and Dad Water to be the things that they think of, right? So you go, I want a seltzer. How many are there? Well, White Claw benefited from being that first because everybody almost White Claw and Seltzer were almost synonymous with each other.
Do you look at what they did, like any research or anything like that, and kind of bounce off different like ideas and take, I don't know, shit away from like what they did?
We didn't early on. I mean, we would kind of study a little bit of the industry, but it's so funny because we mostly had people telling us it wasn't going to work because all the market research says you need to do this. Mm-hmm. And we went, yeah, but there's got to be people out there that have palates like ours that really don't want a carbonated drink. And now we're seeing that happen in the market, right? Yeah. Everybody's going, starting to go non-carbonated. They're doing teas, right? The iced tea market's exploding.
What about like, I don't know if this will, we can cut this part, but I'm just kind of curious. Mm-hmm. What is like, would you say your like most direct competitor? Because when I see it out there, I don't know of like somebody that's actually doing like a water and just, and then
a vodka or a tequila. Yeah.
So is there in your eyes, what is that? Like, you're not really competing.
Who are you guys beefing with?
Yeah.
You
know? I mean, what's funny is there's only really one other, there's really no other brand currently that we know of on a big scale that's doing exactly what we're doing. There's been a few that have experimented with like a water base, but they do a malt.
Yeah.
Right.
Like a would malted liquor. Would
you say that's more local? Like, yes. Breweries or
yes, you know, like breweries. There's a couple brands that have popped up, but again, if you're using a malt, that's a vastly different product than this. That's White Claw and High Noon.
Yeah.
High Noon uses vodka. White Claw is a malt. There's a different flavor. It's going to be a cleaner taste. And when you're not putting anything else in it, like we do, it's very important for us that we use real vodka. So honestly, what we say when we go into a market is we're like, we want to be the uncarbonated High Noon. Yeah. Like, look at what High Noon's done. They've captured the market. They did like 21 million cases last year. I think number two in the space was 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a huge gap where we're like, we want to be High Noon, but not carbonated.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm trying to think. I'm like,
have you seen brands try to do what you guys are doing? No.
I think honestly, the crazy part is they're really hesitant, which is probably for good reason, because there's been a lot of brands that have tried the alcoholic water category that have failed, but it's because they use malt. And when you decide to use liquor, your margins are so much thinner. It's a bigger risk.
Right.
That's why you don't see most of the new teas coming out. They're malt. They're not vodka. Some of them are. It's just harder to do. And so for a big company, think about the big companies. They're going to be the ones that copy us, but they're looking for margins first and foremost. They're, they want to make money. And the other part of that is if you're a liquor, you can only be sold in like a fraction of the accounts. You know, some states, if you're a malt like White Claw, you can be sold in convenience stores. You can be sold in Walmart. If you're a liquor, you can't. You have to be in a liquor store, right? And so they're looking at it like my distribution could be more if I'm a malt. My margins are better if I'm a malt. So again, they're making decisions based off profit. We weren't. We were making decisions based off like what's just a good product. And so I think inevitably people will come into the market. The big players, if we're continuing to grow every year, this year we should have 1 million cases. And it's like once you kind of do that, you're officially on the map and people know about us enough. We know the other big companies know about us. So I'm sure it'll happen, which is fine, which is why we're just proud of our brand, because that's what's going to sustain us.
We'll switch over to Dad Water, but I think one of the last questions that I have about Mom Water, I guess your wife would be the face of the brand. You're kind of the face of the brand for Dad Water, and you don't see a lot of, I'm guessing you don't see a lot of females in the alcohol industry, and I'm guessing that you guys are required to go speak at these different alcohol meetings or whatever the hell they're called. I don't know what they're called. And it's pretty competitive. Yep. So I don't know, man. How do males look at a female like that? And are they a little bit more dickheads, you know? Or you know, got to come in and be like, yo, this is what we're actually doing. We're shutting you guys all up and we're working with the Pacers and the Mavs.
Right. There's a shift in the industry trying to get more women involved because, when we came in, I mean, it's like 90% probably male in the alcohol world for whatever reason. And so there's been a concerted effort to do that. So you're seeing more and more pop up all the time. A lot of new brands are female brands. With us, that's always the fun part is, or the funny part, I guess, with our brands. Jill's very, very shy. She doesn't like, you're not going to get her to get on a podcast.
Really?
Whereas me, I'm like, I don't care. I talk for a living. That's what I do. I like it. I enjoy it. We do these things, but my sister Kara, she's actually our CEO now. I always joke, like I was our CEO, but I'm like, I'm going to hand it off to the smarter person, which is my sister. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm chief dad officer, Jill's chief mom officer.
Go run up dad water.
Yeah.
And CDO.
You know, I'm the CDO. So, you know, and Kara, she's eloquent. She doesn't mind being in front of people. Like, so a combination, like Jill and Kara were actually both on, you know, like a local Louisville news thing recently, nice. You know, and we got invited to go to New York to speak at a big beverage conference. They only invited three brands and we were one of them, and Kara's going to go speak to that. So, you know, if we want the female representation, Kara can go. If it doesn't matter, if it's dad water, I can do it. We just kind of, it's really like a team effort, you know, and we have a lot of family on our team. That's who we hired. That was the first people we did, even though everybody was like, don't do that.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to do it our own way. We're not real money hungry.
So you guys don't really see like a lot of like, I don't know, fuck those guys. You know, like the guys that like run Bud Light or like Coors, you know, like the old white dickheads. You
know? No, not really. Like we had, you know, we had everybody up front. Like it seems like cancel culture comes for everybody. And in the very beginning, before we even launched, we had some like random Canadian, you know,
yeah, of course,
article come out of like, why did you pick white names? We're like, what? I didn't know these names were reserved for white people. I'm sorry.
Hey, we got a Karen. Relax.
You're right. I'm like the Linda.
Helps us down a little bit.
Hell, our Linda flavor was from a video with like this little Hispanic boy like pleading with his mom. The Listen Linda video, if you've not seen it, like it's hilarious. Like that was the inspiration. I'm like, they don't know us as people. And I think a lot of people do that. They rush to, they assume we're a big company trying to capitalize on whatever. And
how like, big is the company?
So we've got like 27 employees now, a couple interns we just hired. We'll probably be over 30 by the end of the year. You know, and then we're, like I said, we should do over 1 million cases this year, somewhere between 1 and 1.5.
I have a question for the dad water side of it. Yeah. Now that you have such an like a industry, what are you talking?
Your side, bro.
He's like holding it like.
All right. So back to what I was saying on the dad water side of it. You have something like a mom wire that's really popular.
Yep.
How do you kick off something like a dad wire to get it to the equal point that you obviously want mom water is at now?
We're still learning. You know, we made mistakes in the beginning, like even our packaging. You know, you see our packaging and the one thing that you notice if you look at even what it is there, does it tell you what it is?
No.
No, no, it doesn't.
Right? Like,
hey, but you know you guys do have print.
We do.
Which is sick.
We do. And so like the thing is funny about the dad water, it's almost like we just lean into it. We're like, you know, dads, we're going to be the ones that screw up all the time anyway. So we make mistakes. The good thing that we know is the product is there. And I have a bunch of friends that like are light beer drinkers that for like this tequila water is speaking to them. They're like, man, this is awesome. I love this stuff. So, you know, we made a lot of mistakes on how we roll it out. We assumed incorrectly that a lot of people would go, oh, dad water, that's an extension of mom water. Mm-hmm. We already know what mom water is. This is just that with tequila. Yeah, bad assumption. Like people don't know. We had a whole group of folks early on that thought we were copycatting mom water. Right. And we've got a pretty rabid fan base. And they were like, you know, screw these dad water guys. What are they?
That's funny.
Like, no. Same team. You know, it's the same
team. Married to
We're the same. Like, and you know, and our social plays off each other. So we're actually, it's kind of cool. Like we're going back and we're actually doing a lot of packaging changes on the design that'll eventually you'll see come into market. We're learning as we go. And that's the thing is we're pretty open with that. Like we don't know what we're doing most of the time. We always say we stumble forward. As long as we're going forward, it's all good. You know, we make mistakes. We learn from
it. When did you decide that you wanted to do dad water, though?
I want to say